I'm here to hold Jordan to account. You know what I mean? this guy's been let on the loose, so he needs checking.
Bro, I mean, the guy's well into his 30s and nobody's been able to hold him to account, so good luck with this. Good luck with that. I don't even think his own parents could say, hand on heart, that they can do that, so good luck with that.
Just let me be me, B. Just let me be me. The team. Well, what are you saying, Muff?
I got nothing to say, bro. let me be me. Be you in it. Do what you're doing. Nothing to say.
I was just saying to G, I think Ollie's still sulking. He's still pissed with me, so I don't think he'd be joining us tonight.
The thing is, he's
not happy with me at all, is he?
You just missed where the brother was coming from. That's what I'm saying to you.
No, I just don't think what he said was true. It was nonsense, and you perpetuated his point, which makes you culpable as well. But at least you came to the party.
I just think, like, if you looked at the amount of times Jordan's called Ollie, right, I would say there would be a direct correlation with when Spurs have got packed.
That's just not true. So to give the listeners a little bit of an insight to what we're talking about, Ollie, I don't think will be joining us this week on the pod, because Ollie thinks that I only do Arsenal chat on the pod when Arsenal win. I phoned Ollie yesterday after the game, and the optics don't look great, granted, but I went to have a chit chat.
Hang on.
I went to catch up with Ollie. Now, granted, Ollie doesn't answer his phone at the best of times. So it's not like he's one of those people that doesn't answer his phone, but he'll call you back. He's one of those people. So he didn't answer his phone. Cool. I thought, maybe we'll catch up with Ollie. He's got some good personal news. I've been busy and I just have to call him. And we might chat about the game as well and a few other work things. Yeah? But Ollie's upset because Ollie's like, no, you're only calling me to gloat about the North London derby. So I'm like, why would I gloat? All right, we won the game. We're 10th. We almost lost the game. How would that gloating go?
Tell me how that gloating goes. I'd gloat, to be fair, but that's just me. I'm a troll. I'd be going.
George, as Ollie isn't here, can I just put a different spin on it?
Go on.
So everything that Jordan said it seems to be true. What I would just say in Ollie's defense is, for Jordan to insinuate that it's merely a coincidence, that bearing in mind everything that Jordan wants to discuss with Ollie, the right time for Jordan to have that conversation is directly after the North London derby. Now, some of the news that I know Jordan wants to discuss, Ollie told us about 3-4 weeks ago.
I've been busy, so, Marvin. I've been busy.
Oh, but instantly your diary just frees up after a North London derby. I mean, come on. Give me, Ollie, and the viewers a bit more credit. You're just taking the piss. That's what I'm saying. The thing is, yeah, I'm not even saying what you're doing is a bad thing. I think what Ollie is saying is, if you want to talk shit and gloat, just own it. Don't try and dress it up like, oh, I've instantly got a free window.
So two things and we'll move on, yeah? First thing is, I've called Ollie on times when Spurs have beaten us. So this idea that I only call him when Arsenal beat Spurs is a myth. Okay. And secondly, again, I repeat my question. How does that gloating go? Ha 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 ha! He 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 he! We beat you 2-1. Is that, how does the gloating go? What are we gloating about? We're 10th.
You know what? I agree, but I would also say that Arsenal fans generally aren't that sensible. So I guarantee, if you go on Arsenal Fan TV and you go,
that's the difference. I'm not Arsenal Fan TV. So
I think Ollie's just treating you all the same. Maybe. I 100% hear what you're saying, Joe, but it's just ownership. Just say, look, I finally had some time and I felt like this was the right time to make a call, because Ollie can't chat shit to me because they couldn't do the business against a team that's performing 10th in the league. But this guy that you're dressing it up for, it's like, I must want you to give us just a bit more credit. We know you. Do you know what I mean? Let me tell you, if Spurs packed you out 7-0 or 6-2 like they packed us out, or 6-1 or whatever it was, I guarantee your diary wouldn't have been free after that game.
I would have phoned him either way, honestly.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Anyway, the listeners actually have been tweeting me saying, you never talk about Arsenal, it's never Arsenal week. So I thought, this week we'll do Arsenal week.
And what, again, a coincidence that you never do Arsenal week.
I can't win. I can't win, Marvin.
Jude, listen. I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but it's not just the listeners that have been tweeting you. Your own panelists have been telling you for weeks, months, you never do Arsenal. And then Arsenal win, and now we do Arsenal.
Well, we're here now.
Let's just call a spade a spade. You know what I mean? You got Simeon in to hold you to account. I'm just setting the scene for you.
So this is the Football Fans Podcast. Myself, Jordan. We got Marvin and not Ollie G on the panel. Ollie is not happy with me, so he's boycotting the podcast this week. we got Simeon, Arsenal fan, with us this week. We saying Simeon.
I'm saying, listen, we need to get rid of Bradley with the good hair. I've had enough of Arteta. But obviously, this is the wrong week to be calling for Arteta out because he's...
Wow, Simeon's just coming shooting from the hip. You know what I mean? He didn't even get asked the question.
It was just a hi, how you doing? You know what I mean?
It's been a good week. Although, you know, Mourinho at Spurs, I mean... he's got this team playing some dead football. Like I said, I'm sorry for them.
And now we come and chat about Spurs because Ollie's not here. It's a bit, we can't really do it. But let's do Arsenal anyway. Let's start off with the North London derby. I want to get to Chelsea as well because since Tuchel's been involved at Chelsea, we've not discussed Chelsea. So we'll get to Chelsea in just a little bit later as well. Arsenal 2-1 winners over Spurs. Let's start with UG. What does this game mean? What does it mean? Arsenal win the game 2-1, but in the grand scheme of things, for both teams, what does this game mean?
I think it's like it's a mid-table battle. Not really much on the line. Although I think you guys really... Tottenham were building up a little bit of momentum and you could start looking down from the top four places and look at Tottenham and think, oh, okay. Because if they'd have won their two games in hand, they'd overtake us and go into fourth. So which would have been... It needs to be beating you and whoever else that they were playing. So you kind of put a little bit of a wrench in Tottenham's momentum, which I guess for rivals is fair. But apart from that, I mean, I'm stretching, reaching for something. There is not really much to the game. I mean, I know you don't like derbies, George, so I won't throw that one in there. but yeah, there's nothing to it. There's no significance on it. A couple of years ago, you know, there was this whole thing about will Tottenham overtake Arsenal or will Arsenal all, you know, remain on top. I just don't think anyone cares now. I don't even know if Arsenal fans care about that whole Tottenham thing anymore. It's like, you know, so yeah, really like a pointless, not, well, I've got to say a pointless game, but like a nothing game on a reasonable weekend of football.
Simeon, your boy came through with the win. Arteta, the G 2-1 win, dropped his captain and star player and still got the win. Tell me, analyze it from an Arsenal fan perspective. It was a good performance from Arsenal. They stepped up. What does this mean from an Arsenal fan's viewpoint?
What does it mean? It probably means a continuation of the fraud that's been done by Arteta, to be honest with you. Oh, wow. I mean, Mikel Arteta, like, I mean, this is what happens when you have a good hairline, you know, in life. This is a good advertisement for sorting everyone's hairlines out because simply by being, like, relatively charismatic, this man is allowed to... take Arsenal Football Club, you know, one of the great clubs of English football, into 10th place. And I feel like the game in itself, you know, if, to be fair to him, I mean, he has injected a bit of urgency. I mean, defensively, we're a lot better than we were under Emery, and he's managed to kind of restore the fluency largely via personnel, Odegaard and Smith-Rowe doing that a lot. Me personally, I'm frustrated that I didn't see Pepe start from the beginning.
You love Pepe, man. Simeon loves Pepe. By the way, everyone, Simeon loves Pepe. Yeah. He thinks the thing that's been held back by Arteta. He really rates him as the guy.
The thing is, right, there isn't any doubt that Pepe is like our most dangerous player, but he's also quite...
There's quite a lot of doubt.
No. He's a very dangerous player. Like he's a very, very dangerous player. The only thing is, though, is that you know, he's inconsistent, but I think he's basically been playing in a weakened Arsenal side when he first came last season. He hasn't been able to find some fluency. And I feel that when he came to some rhythm since the beginning of this year, Arteta hasn't played him consistently. Like he was in good form and he dropped him. He was good on the left, then he moved him. And I just feel like, you know, he came on and he made a difference. Fundamentally, he played the key pass. Lacazette fluffed the shot. But ultimately, it was the pass that made the goal. So I don't know. I'm not entirely happy with Arteta's kind of personnel handling of personnel. Saliba, Pepe. I feel like even Martinelli to an extent as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm hearing you might be getting loaned out soon as well, actually.
I just feel like Arteta is quite a stubborn manager. I do think that he has learned from some of his mistakes that he made earlier this season. But fundamentally, 10th place is just not good enough. You know, it wouldn't happen at Chelsea. Chelsea would be like, no, we're replacing the manager straight away. Lampard, you've got 4th place last year. Straight away, out. Tuchel came in. I think the fact that the board have been so committed to the Arteta project means that this is the only one that can run. I don't know. I think that really kind of cements our mid-table status, to be honest with you. The fact that, well, what does failure look like for Arsenal now? And everyone's sticking with the project. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm glad that we won. And even though I'm saying Arteta out, you know, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. But me personally, I'm not a believer in the project. And when I came on this podcast last, when there was a choice between Ancelotti and Arteta, I said I would have taken Ancelotti, and you laughed at me, Jordan. You said that's ridiculous. And look what Everton are compared to us. I mean, they're ahead of us. I mean, that speaks a lot.
Marvin, excuse me, a lot of people were saying, like yesterday after the game, that Arteta lucked out, if you like, by dropping Aubameyang and taking his stance that he took by not selecting him in the 11. Apparently, he's got a lateness problem and he lucked out because Arsenal won the game. If he hadn't won the game, he would have got a lot more heat. I personally, I'm of the mindset discipline and standards should trump talent. I was comfortable with the stance he took, and I wouldn't be saying, have you lost the game? Oh, you put your principles above the best 11. As a football fan, where do you sit on that? Do you think that if your player, your captain, is showing ill discipline, you have to take a public stance that you're not having it, regardless of the consequences? Or in a derby, say you're playing Liverpool, do you bench Bruno Fernandes for being consistently late to prove a point, even if it means you might lose to Liverpool?
Well, I'm more likely to bench Bruno Fernandes than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Let's be clear about that, right? And I think it's interesting to hear Simeon speak, because it's definitely a different perspective from most of the Arsenal fans that would literally think Arteta is the second coming of Pep Guardiola, which I agree with Simeon, we are yet to see, right? But in answer to your question, Jude, yeah, I'm a disciplinarian, right? I just feel like you got to take a stand. I mean, even the way that Keane exited Man United, Ferguson had enough, right? Like, at the end of the day, you've got to demonstrate to the players that there is a level and there is a standard and nobody is above that. And where, even if they lost, I still think Arteta's right. At first, I just thought the guy was late one time and I was just like, give him a break. Like, we've all had lateness issues, but it seems like from what I'm hearing in the press today, which you take with a pinch of salt, it seems to be more systemic with Aubameyang. And there is question marks whether the lateness has increased now we got the fat contract out of you guys. So I think it's absolutely the right decision for him to take. And I think there will be other players, particularly as Simeon said, there's lots of youngsters coming through now that will look at that and realise that there is a standard that Arteta is trying to instill within the club and nobody's above that. So I'm totally for that.
How do Arsenal become a competitive side again? This question to all of you guys. What's the biggest problem? Is it the manager? Is it the recruitment? Is it the culture, that I still think there are lingers of Wenger still on that club? How do Arsenal, because this year's a write-off for me, we might go deep into the Europa League, we'll revisit that if that happens, but how do Arsenal next year get themselves back into that kind of contention for top six, top four?
I mean, I'll go first. I mean, I think actually, contrary to what Simeon said, I think there's been a lot that Arteta has done. I mean, you guys are the ones that educated me, but when I spoke to other people, it's really true. The likes of Mustafi, Kolasinac, Ozil, there was a bit of a little group within the Arsenal camp that was detrimental to the team spirit. And I think it was important, especially with Ozil's wages, to get those guys off the books that weren't willing to go all the way with Arteta, right? I think that's a good step. I think to me, and something that's baffled me for years, mainly as I know Arsenal fans that have tickets, is there's clearly something wrong with the infrastructure and the investment, right? Like Highbury is a long time ago, they moved to the Emirates, and Arsenal's ticket prices remain to be some of the most expensive in Europe, if not the world. Yeah, I do not see the investment in the squad, right? Now, I'm not saying they should go out and buy marquee players. And I'm also not saying that they haven't started to change that. I think you've been crying out for a Thomas Partey type player for ages. Arteta went out and got that. And, you know, you also guaranteed us top four with that acquisition. That remains to be seen. But I think there is something fundamentally wrong with the infrastructure. I think, you know, it's run more as a business than most of the other Premier League clubs. And, it, you know, as long as we get top four and we can balance the books, the fans should be happy with that. I don't think there's a burning ambition from the leadership at the club to return you guys to the moderate glory days that Wenger gave you and the invincible. And I think mediocrity is okay, right? That's how I would put it. I think United fans are still livid with, you know, the last 6-7 years, well, whenever Fergie left, right? Even as shit as we are, we still want to be spending, investing in the club, the right infrastructure, the right coaching to get us back to where we think we belong. Whether we'll get there is a different thing, but aside from a few people in the Arsenal camp, I just think the leadership are cool with what's going on.
Simeon, let me ask you the thing that, and this is another reason why I wasn't going to be gloating to Ollie had he answered the phone to me yesterday, was because even in a game where Arsenal dominated the vast majority of it, even in a game where Arsenal had a one goal advantage and a one man advantage, we could have lost that game, you know. We could have lost that game in the last, what, 8-10 minutes?
I think you could have drawn the game. Lost.
They had two good chances at the end to score. To, you know what I mean?
I mean, the issue is that 11 against 11, Spurs have the better side. And, I mean, a very dangerous front three, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I guess some...
But sorry, Simon, do they have a better... I thought about this. Do they have the better side? I think versus, it's a lot closer than...
11 versus 11, I think it's fair to say that their first 11 is better than ours at the moment. Although, obviously, Saka constantly improving. Odegaard isn't our player, but if he was, I mean, potentially a big star. Smith Rowe, good player too. But I mean, you take.
I'm looking at defense. I think it's.
Defensively, I think Arteta has organized our defense quite well. I mean, we've made good recruitments. Gabriel's a decent defender. Pablo Marie, who wasn't playing, is a good defender. I mean, Luiz is, you know what I mean? He can ball, but you know what I mean? He's got some problems. As well, Luiz, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Tierney's obviously strong. But I mean, no, I think on the first 11, I think that you have to say that Spurs are the better side. And I think in recent years, I mean, they've shown that. I think for me, the problem with Arsenal, they need, well, under Wenger, and what top clubs are supposed to have, they're supposed to have a comparative advantage when it comes to recruiting talent. So Wenger, when he came to the league, that was at a moment in time when actually there were foreign players, but not to the extent that they are today. And he had a comparative advantage or understanding in recruiting French players who at that moment were the best in Europe. They had the best young talent. And he had a comparative advantage of knowing all these players, having a relationship with the clubs, having the scouting network set up. And so it was just like we were just there, set up, ready to go. I think that right now we don't have the same infrastructure. So a lot of the time we're paying over the odds on players who we should have signed several years ago. So Pepe, we should be paying 72 mil for Pepe. Do you know what I'm saying? Really, we should have been paying 10 mil for Pepe, maybe less. And then you didn't have the same burden on him and stuff like that. So I feel like we've just spent a lot of money. So people say the investment hasn't been there, but I just completely disagree with that. We have spunked a lot of money and we haven't got much back. I mean, we let Ramsey, Alex Sanchez, we've let a lot of Welbeck, we let a lot of players go for free. You know what I mean? We let, like, maybe potentially their peak, 200 million worth of players go for nothing.
So how much is Welbeck's value in all of that?
I knew you were going to come in.
when you're seeing what certain men are going for, listen, like, there's no way we could have easily got a cheeky 10-15 for Welbeck.
But all right, fine.
All I'm saying is that fundamentally, the management of the club has been poor. We need to rebuild the infrastructure. I just feel like the people. I mean, Eddie right now, we're going to see what he's made of, but for me, It's just like, are we recruiting young talent at a low price who we can develop who are going on to be world beaters? If that is there, then we're set up nicely for the future. Saka's developing nicely, Smith Rowe developing nicely. We signed Tierney for 25 mil, which looks like a bargain at the moment, to be honest with you. So I think that really is where the test of the club will be. Although I said obviously it's Arteta out, you know, he's doing an okay job for a club in the Premier League. He's not doing a good job at all. I think that fundamentally our squad is a lot better than 10th. People say that our players are awful. I don't actually buy that, to be honest with you. But we certainly aren't near for challenge in the league, put it that way.
G, let me ask you, how many Arsenal players would you take at Chelsea? I'll run for a few. Tierney?
I mean, things in Chili B is in bad form, so yeah,
Chili
I'll take
B. Okay.
I'll take Chili.
Gabriel?
No.
You've got a better defender than Gabriel?
Yeah, I think Rudiger's better than Gabriel. I think Thiago Silva's better than Gabriel. I think on current form, Christensen's better than Gabriel as well.
Wow. Partey?
Yeah, I'll take Partey. I'll take Partey.
Saka?
Yeah, but I mean, he won't get into the first team, but he'd be, you know, he'd be in a good squad member. So yeah,
Saka won't get into Chelsea first 11?
No.
Okay. There's one more player on the name as well. Aubameyang.
You take Aubameyang. Come on. Your strikers can't score goals, bro. What are you talking?
You never got Aubameyang. He's got a good goal.
Aubameyang's been a good run of form since 2021. So, that's not true.
If you asked me last year, I'd have taken him hands down. I don't know now. I just think he'll come in and do the same what Werner's doing. So nah, no, I'm not sure about. You're, okay, fine. If you twist my arm, I'll take him.
guys, let's chat Lamella. This is why I want Ollie on the pod, man, because I just had so much to say to Ollie, but I'll kind of curtail it. Is that the goal of the season, Marvin? And is a Rabona actually a technically top goal, or is it just a goal that you score if you're one footed?
George, you got some funny questions. I can't lie.
They're biased questions. That's what they are.
It's being asked out there on the streets. They're saying
it was a good goal. It was a good goal, man.
I think it was a brilliant goal. No, I think it was a brilliant goal.
What it is? You said it was a brilliant goal, but then you did a backhanded. Oh, is it because man's got one foot? You know what you're doing. You know what I mean, George? Let's just be transparent here.
Is that goal of the season?
I don't know, you know, I need to think about it because Bruno Fernandes got a goal of the month for that goal he scored against Everton, which I thought was mediocre. I didn't think it was amazing. So maybe the talent of goals just aren't out there that I thought. Madison scored a banger, but I need to go back. It's up there. It'll be in the contention at the end of this season, I'm sure.
Simeon?
There was one guy from Burnley scored one mad goal.
McNeil scored one. Oh, I don't know if it's...
It wasn't on the weekend. It was a few matches ago where basically, I think he was playing right back and he kind of...
Oh, Loughton at Palace.
He kind of moves like the pitch like Cafu.
Yeah.
Does a 1-2 and does score some mad volley. Let's say. For me, I probably would say that goal because that goal was kind of wild. But obviously the technique for the goal at Spurs, you know what I mean? It was classy.
Who finishes higher this season, G? Arsenal or Spurs?
I think Spurs do.
Why?
I think Mourinho can structure a team just the same way Arteta can structure a team well. And he's got better firepower up front. I mean, I was looking at Kane yesterday and like, even though he didn't score, you're just thinking, man, this guy's still dangerous. Like, it's just a shame he's at such an average team. Because I think he could be the difference between, you know, a United competing for the league or a Chelsea competing for the league, just having someone like that. So I think Harry Kane and Son just kind of, will edge, Arsenal eventually. And Arsenal, like, they go on these little runs, but eventually the mediocrity always comes out. So I'd say Spurs over.
I mean, I think this has got to be Kane's last season now, isn't it? Like, I just can't see.
I think he stays, Marv. I think he wants to stay.
How long is his contract?
I think he's got 2 or 3 more years left.
I don't know. I don't know if he wants to say. I just think, who's going to pay the money now?
I think it's both.
We're in the pandemic. People ain't, and if you're going to spend money, like, you look at the teams that have got money are going to look at Haaland, or look at Aguero on the free.
No, I think he'll be 28 at the beginning of next season, right? So he's not a spring chicken anymore, and I just think he's going to have people around him that are going to show that, you know, they got rid of Poch, who was getting good stuff out of him. They've got in Jose that wins stuff, right? And still the chances are they'll probably finish outside of the Champions League. It becomes a conversation of, would you want to go somewhere where you could probably get paid the same or even a little bit more and really compete for a title? And I think there's good cases of where it was the wrong decision. The likes of Alan Shearer, right? That's went to Newcastle when United were in for him and won nothing, right?
But he doesn't regret that.
I don't think he does. And the difference is he had a Prem in his back pocket already.
Exactly. Even more reason for Kane to go. I mean, I don't know if Shearer regrets it. I think Shearer is such a faithful to Newcastle, Simeon. Exactly, even if he did, he'd never put it on paper, right? but I think this summer, you know, I think you're right. I think Haaland is the marquee, right? But Haaland can't go to the six teams that would kill for a good striker. I don't think people will take a punt on Aguero now. I mean, even on a free, they will. But I think if you said to United, pay 150 mil for Kane or get Aguero on a free, I think they'd go for Kane at 150 mil, right? So, I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn and maybe I've got free reign because Ollie isn't here giving me all of that, going, do you know how great our stadium is? Blah, blah, blah. So I just think it's like, it's do or die. If he doesn't go this summer, then you're right. I think he'll see out his contract and be one of those sort of long-termers forevermore who, you know, that will go down in folklore, be a fan favourite, but will have a trophy cabinet with a couple of golden boots in it and nothing more.
Simeon, has the Gareth Bale revival ended?
Jude, after one game where he got subbed.
Well, the reason why I ask the question now is because it was the first, inverted commas, big team, big game that he started in, and he was poor. You can bat up Burnley,
To be fair, like, Kane was anonymous as well. Like, there were a lot of players who were anonymous in that game for Spurs. Spurs were definitely off the pace. I don't know. I can't tell you if the revival is done, because in the last few games he looked very sharp, and he, you know, he may not have the same level of pace, but he's still got the technique. His shot's still powerful. He's still got the movement, and he's still what 30. So I don't know. I would back him to still score another 5 goals this season at least. You know what I'm saying?
More than that, I just put him on my fantasy team, man. I hope he does more than that.
And if I'm paying him again, Ollie will jump on. But if I'm paying him 200k or whatever plus a week, come on, man. Those are the games yesterday. I'm looking for you to do something.
But do you guys, because I looked at the Spurs starting lineup and I thought Jose's gone all in here. Like, he picked most of his attacking players, but obviously Son came off and it was almost like he said to them, look, I'm going to make it look like we're going for this game, but I still want to win 1-0. Do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't take the handbrake off.
But you should know more than anybody else. I remember there was a game when he was at United and when you were in the WhatsApp group, the old one, where everyone was like, yeah, he's gone. He's picked Martial, Rashford, Ibrahimovic, da-da-da-da-da. But we knew, just because the players on the pitch were attacking, we knew.
Yeah, but
the strategy wasn't going to be attacking.
Yeah, the strategy wasn't going to be attacking, and I 100% agree with you, Joel. But I guess the reason why I'm bringing it up is, can Bale be blamed for the lack of performance?
I don't think he can. And actually, the truth is that Spurs played exactly the same way when they beat us early this season, where we were on top, we had the possession, we were the better side, but fundamentally they had the clinical strikers. And I guess that's where Mourinho's kind of relying on Son and Kane basically just finishing. And early on in the season, when Spurs were riding high, their expected goals were actually quite low. And what it was just phenomenal finishing by Kane and Son, basically. And it was like, that's his system. But it's like the actual setup is not geared towards releasing those players. Because, I mean, on talent-wise, what's a better front three than Bale, Kane, and Son. I mean, Son for me is the best forward in the Premier League. So, I mean, like, I feel like Spurs have in many ways have been very. This is almost the wrong year to have Mourinho. It's almost like this is the wrong year to have Mourinho as manager, to be honest with you.
Let's do Chelsea now, G. Are Chelsea the most boring but effective team in the Premier League right now?
I wouldn't even say that we're boring, to be fair.
You're pretty boring, G.
No, we haven't scored a lot of goals. But, I mean, we create chances. We just haven't got people who can finish them off. I think what Tuchel has done really well, and it's difficult because I'm really trying to word these correctly so it doesn't seem as if Sly digs at the previous incumbent, because you guys know I've got Frank's back. You guys got Frank's back. But I think he looked at the team and looked at the and has managed to get all of, like, most of the best players on the pitch in a system which suits them, which we weren't able to do previously, and in a structure that works really well. If you look at it, you know, I think our goals is like something like 11 goals in 10 games. Like, it doesn't look like, it doesn't look very entertaining, but actually, like, we actually play some pretty good stuff. Like, we miss chances. The final ball just isn't quite there. We haven't got anyone who is a killer. And I think this is something that even Lamp suffered from before. And we spent, it's pretty damning that we spent around 200 million mainly on attacking talent in the summer. And we still haven't got a killer in the ranks. But I think you put a killer in there, and I think it's a totally different perspective. So now I don't think that we're boring at all, but I do hope that we can get a little bit more clinical up front and possibly a little bit more expensive once the structure goes comes in and goes better.
I can't disagree more with what you said, right? You've just said that unlike Lamps, he's got the players playing in a system which suits them, right?
Yeah.
And like, defensively aside, right, you guys are keeping clean sheets, but he's getting Havertz in the side, he's getting Werner in the side, he's getting Hudson-Odoi in the side, and they're still doing fuck all, G. They're still doing fuck all. And I don't understand how you can say that.
From scoring perspective.
Well, I watched the Leeds game, yeah? He played. He played what, like a false nine? He went and I'm being harsh, right? Because I think you're right in regards to now he hasn't got to worry about Frank creeping into his hotel room at night. Mason Mount's actually playing some really decent football, right? But when I look at the signings, not just from the summer, but even going back to the likes of Pulisic, right? I said to you on the WhatsApp, I said, Ziyech, I've seen like one good game from him. He played, he wasn't great. Havertz wasn't great. Pulisic wasn't great. When Werner came on, he wasn't great. So I don't understand how you can say wholeheartedly that he's got players playing in a system. I would expect to see more from them if he's got the system right. Now, defensively, I'll hold up my hands. What? I don't think he's even... He might have conceded. He's conceded like zero or something, right?
I think it's three goals. Is it two? Yeah.
Two. So defensively, I'm hearing you, but I got to challenge you on the rest
of
the attacking.
You watch the game, then you'd see that Havertz had three chances that you'd expect him to take at least one of those. at least one.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that Havertz and Werner and Pulisic are good players?
I would reserve judgment on Werner and Havertz until next season. I think they deserve that. Pulisic had a good spell a dynamite spell towards the end of that. But overall, I'm not sure that he's there yet.
Were they a waste of money?
I would say they're a waste of money because they're still young and they still can develop, but they're not at the level as of yet.
Why is it that Arsenal get more heat for Pepe than these man when Pepe scored more goals than all of them?
He lined up nice.
Simeon, I mean, maybe because Pepe's just shit.
and yet he's still got more goals than all of them. Like, what are you really saying? Combined.
Sibby, can I just ask?
I'm no Pepe fan, but Simeon's got a point. You know what I mean?
Has Sibby, he got more goals than all of them?
Yeah, he does. He has more goals than all of them combined, and he played half the minutes.
Sibby, can I just ask, is your annoyance with Arteta purely Pepe based, or is there more to it? Because I've seen some real venom when it comes to Pepe. Like,
I just feel like it's what I hate, right? Is when people in football come to a decision and then basically, because they've made that decision, they can't see any other truth, or they can't see a player performing well because they just come to a decision, and then therefore it's like, well, this is our narrative, so we're just sticking to it.
He's saying people, but he means me. So let's just be clear. Well,
Jordan especially. So for me, I just don't feel like the receipts are stacking up, especially when I see certain teams spending big, big money. You know what I mean? Like, German man that just go in straight lines. So
Pepe cost double what Werner cost. Kind of puts it into perspective.
But did he cost double what the German man in the straight line is?
No. But I'm saying give Havertz a little bit of time. Like, I just think it's too early to make judgments.
So, Simeon's asking you, are you basically saying Pepe should get more time as well?
Nah, this is Pepe's second full season, and I've gone on the stats, and he's got like 10 league goals over 2 years.
All right. I mean, let me tell you something. I think they're both shit.
You think Kai Havertz is shit?
I'm a big believer in giving people time, particularly at this level, right?
I'm not.
But I'm being harsh when I say shit. But I remember sitting there. And I don't venture into watching the Bundesliga that much, right? But, you know, I listen to the pundits tell me that Kai Havertz is a generational talent. That's some of the wording that people told me, right? So I'm thinking, you know what? I got to watch this guy. And even in the game I watched, right, when he was in Germany, I was like, he's good. But for me, generational is like what you say about Mbappe and Haaland, right? And those are people that are also equally young and have also travelled to, you know, have gone to a big club and made it happen. And I just think I don't see that he will ever get near those levels. I think he will battle the likes of Mason Mount. And I just think Mason Mount isn't a generational talent. So it's less about my annoyance at Havertz. And I don't think he's shit. It's more about, I really think the hype machine behind him was misplaced, I don't think we'll see it fulfilled.
Is it, and this is a genuine question, is it more though that he hasn't maybe got an overt, obvious, outstanding quality? So Mbappe's got stupid pace.
Yeah.
Haaland is just a physical specimen. Whereas this is what the German pundits will say about Kai Havertz. He's a guy that will run the game. David Silva didn't have an overt, do you know what I mean, obvious skill, but his skill was the game was won, not because he got the assists or the goals, but he ran the game. Do you know what I mean? So maybe that is where they credit.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know what it's like, right? And
the cerebral talent.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got, I watch what players say, and what I mean by say, like, I see what's in the quotes, right? And it reminds me of when United signed Daley Blind, right? Who had a good World Cup or Euros, I can't remember. We signed him. And he said something about, like, the Premiership, the Premier League, like, it's a lot of hustle and bustle. Like, it's quite physical. That's what you're saying, like, 6 months into his time. And the same thing, like, I think Werner said something about every defender's 6 foot and fast and stuff. And I was like, this guy ain't up for it. He ain't up for it, right? Like, you know, when you start licking the ass of, like, the Brighton centre-backs, then you know there's a problem there, right? So Havertz, I agree with G, he needs more time. But I think, and it's probably more my fault than anyone else's, G, but I thought I was going to see something to be fearful of. Now I'm happy when he's on the team sheet against us. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of how I'd put it into perspective.
I mean, what I would say, I mean, like, it's going to sound crazy, but 70 million in today's
market. Don't say it, G. Don't say it. 70,
expect a Pepe rebuttal. Speak your mind.
70 million in today, it's not like, I mean, yeah, he's touted as a generational talent, but it's not like we've gone out and played to 200 million that you've paid for Mbappe. You know what I mean? It's 70 million. You get centre midfielders for that. Jorginho was 60 million. You know what I mean? I just think
that's because it's you. You just pay. You just cut the check regardless. That doesn't mean.
I mean, Pepe was 70 million as well, Jordan. I mean, come on, like.
Yeah, but I think we can agree that Arsenal spending 70 million on a player is an anomaly. United do that. You do that.
Listen, Pepe's expensive because he bought him on HP. So obviously
that's everyone buys the players on HP. I don't know why everyone pays in installments. It's the normal thing.
Listen, Chelsea are paying with that kind of. That stolen oil money. Listen. Chelsea money different. But I just feel like, what I'm saying, right, is that I just feel like it's interesting the narrative that gets framed around Pepe, who actually is having a good season, despite half of his game basically being subs. Basically, he's playing half the minutes of those guys, but scoring the same number of goals them combined. And I just feel like it's interesting the way that it's framed. And last year, he was playing in a poor Arsenal side, having his moments here and there. But he still wasn't getting like cuts like the way that these men are getting.
But who said they're getting cut slack though? Werner's got roasted this year.
Yes, I mean, the thing about it is, right, my only, like, I get it, right? You're speaking to a man that's back Danny Welbeck, Andy Cole. Like, I will back my brothers. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't care. Like, Fred, I'm a big Fred fan here, right? So I get it. My only thing that I would say to you, right, is when you say, "Oh, Pepe scored more goals than them man have been shit." Do you know what I mean? So it's like you're basing them against players that haven't played well, right? I feel like with Pepe, again, right? I remember the gas. I remember the videos, the YouTube clips that Arsenal fans showed me, etc., etc. And I agree with you that Arteta probably has spoiled his rhythm to an extent, right? But then I also think it's not like he's dropping him. Keep me honest here, right? Because I'm not watching Arsenal enough, right? But it's not like he's dropping him for shit players, right? He's trying to get Saka, Smith Rowe, and them man in, right?
The issue is largely that when he gets into form and gets into rhythm, he then gets dropped. Like, he's been very dangerous.
Who's he dropping him for? Is he dropping for someone that you don't think's worthy of his place?
Willian?
William ain't starting, is he? William was looking after his restaurant and collecting his check.
William was starting, actually. William got one assist here and then started the next three games. Like, Arteta is out here, like, he's got a spiritual bondage to William. Like, I don't know what this guy said to him.
There's something contractual there clearly going on there. But let me ask you, Marvin, who's a harder watch at Chelsea and United right now?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, I'm not looking... It's weird because I can't remember who just said it earlier, right? But I think you guys were slagging off the North London derby and I was kind of like, I look forward to it. Like, when I saw it on the plan, I was like, yeah, I'll sit down and eat some kettle chips to that one. So I think you guys are being harsh on that, regardless of where those teams are positioned, right? But in answer to your question, they're both shit to watch. But I'd rather watch Chelsea because then I've got no skin in the game, right? Like watching United right now, whether you're relying on an early goal or a penalty, and then you might see a game. The challenge for United is anyone outside of the top six knows that they can sit deep and we can't break them down. So it just becomes possession football against the resolute defence, and that resolute defence hoping to nick a corner or a free kick, set piece, something like that. So it's pretty dire to watch. That being said, I don't want to do them a disservice, because when a team does want to play them like City did, they put on a good account of themselves. And I do think that, the likes of Pogba, I don't care what anyone tells me, Rashford is not fit. So we got some issues, right? And I don't think, who would I rather watch playing good at the top of the game? Definitely Man United compared to Chelsea. Definitely. But yeah, it's a hard watch. And you can always tell by my progression on Candy Crush what football games I'm watching, because I do levels.
You were anti-Oli before. You're still anti-Oli?
Still anti-Oli, bruv. Like, you know me well enough, Simeon. I don't change with the wind, right? Like, I guess what's funnier for me, Simeon, when I listen to you talk about the Arteta project. At least there's a project there, whether you agree with it. Whereas the Ole project is, I'm just going to dash these men on the pitch and see what happens.
Well, hang on. I want to come to something relating to that in a minute. Let me just wrap up on Chelsea, though. Finish with you, G. No, in fact, let me ask Simeon and G come in if you want. Do you think Chelsea have got a manager that next year can seriously take that squad to be title contenders? Have they got a guy now? Because I'm seeing what Tuchel's doing, and I'm thinking they're horrible to watch. I disagree with G. But I think he's building a foundation that basically is clean sheets first, and then I work on the strikers and the attack in the summer.
In many ways, that's what Arteta was effectively trying to do, to be honest. Mm. I think that Tuchel's a guy who's serious. I think he's serious. He's got pedigree. For every reason, he's getting something out of the players. I think it's more than just a bounce. So I think the Chelsea will be interesting to watch next year. And the thing about Chelsea is that they've always got money to spend in the transfer window. So, you know, if there's a deficit somewhere, they'll be looking to actually sort that out. It takes Arsenal, like, I don't even know, 10 years to replace a midfielder. So with Chelsea, like, there's literally minimal waiting around.
Yeah, George. I mean, you said I can come in, so I'll come in. I'm definitely looking forward.
Come through.
I'm definitely looking forward to next season. Reason being is I think we've got three or four players who are obviously struggling to find their feet at the moment in the Prem. But after a pre-season and a year under their belt, I wouldn't be surprised if Werner flew next year. I really wouldn't. So I think we've got players who can improve in our team or at the right age and profile to actually go on. And as Simeon said, we'll go and spend the money. If there is a gap, we'll go and improve. And I've been very impressed with what Tuchel's done so far. I'm not ruling us out of doing something this year. What that is, I won't say, but I'm not ruling us out of doing something this year. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's move on. final. G, you had to kill it, man. Final thing I wanted to talk about, and this is where I wanted to kind of just pause Marvin, was the whole idea around technical directors. Because over the weekend, obviously, Chris Wilder left Sheffield United, and the reports coming out are saying that he left because the new, I think they're Arab owned now, or half owned by Arabs. They want to bring in the new modern model of having a technical director, and Chris Wilder wasn't having any of it. And about a week or two ago, United appointed Darren Fletcher as their technical director. Start with you, Simeon. Do you think the technical director is a role that is integral to being successful at the top level? Or is it just a fancy title that a lot of clubs now give a new employee to make it look like we're this new modern business that actually is going in the right direction?
I think that football today has become far more demanding. I mean, it's like the stakes are higher, there's more money, it's more of an industry. But at the same time, it's like the sport itself, the actual recruitment of players and finding and scouting talent from across the world is far more intense. So I think you've always had a technical type director. I imagine they do slightly different things at different clubs, but I think that almost certainly the infrastructure above the manager is actually key to a team's success, because it's recruitment, it's scouting, it's also kind of the club morale. So I mean, Arsenal, like the thing about Wenger, right? Wenger never won the league without David Dean. Like, he only ever won the league under David Dean. And I think that you do need those figures who have the respect, and they can go to other clubs, they can command players, and they can effectively do the work off the pitch. So I think that infrastructure outside of the manager and the first team is key for a club, to be honest with you. But I imagine that for some clubs, that role is just like, is not given the kind of power that it maybe that maybe it needs. And then CEO today can't do everything.
Mm. Marvin, what Simeon says there, different clubs will have a different definition of what a technical director does and is. What is your understanding of what a technical director is there to do? And how do you, and do you think it's something that will help Man United, or they just kind of caved into the pressure of everyone saying United need a technical director?
Oh, this is so hard, right? Because T will tell you, Jude, I'm a big Darren Fletcher fan, right? And I think
you're not convinced, are you?
The thing about it is, right, I'm very anti I'm not a big one for sentiment, right? And I think what's interesting about G, G loves sentiment, right? That's why he's team Frank, right? Frank's done fuck all, right? And G doesn't even want to speak a bad word against him, right? So
I mean, done a lot, to be fair. He's won the Champions League and all that kind of stuff. But
all right, Frank's done fuck all as a manager. Let me just clarify that, right? And well,
four plays ain't bad. Four plays is not bad.
G proved the point, right? Because he's leaning on the performance of a player as opposed to a manager. And that's kind of what I'm seeing with Darren Fletcher, right? I haven't seen anything of Darren Fletcher which makes me think this guy is an operator from a recruitment perspective, from a sort of tactical perspective, or as a liaison between coaching staff and board perspective, right? Or even as a top player, but again, I'll highlight the fact I'm not really. They don't even have to be a footballing person, right? They've just got to have the pedigree, and I don't think Darren Fletcher's got that. My biggest issue is I think the board sat down with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and said, "We're thinking about, you know, technical director. What are you thinking?" And he went, "I quite like Darren Fletcher," and they went, "All right, let's go with that."
Isn't that what they should do though?
I don't think so. Not when it's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right? If it's Tuchel, if it's someone else, but I'm still not convinced that he will be the person to take us forward. So you've basically selected a technical director on the back of someone that many United fans wouldn't be mad if he didn't do the next season.
But sorry to cut you there, Mom, but here's the thing. Yeah. You're saying that Solskjaer shouldn't have appointed, if this is how it happened, he shouldn't have been the one consulted about Aaron Fletcher.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not against consultation with the management, right? At the end of the day...
I don't think the manager should be appointing it.
I think there's got to be a conversation. Ultimately, the decision, it should be made by the board, right? But I think it's even more precarious when we're talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right? And the thing about it is, for me, is, I mean, I've watched Darren Fletcher just being a pundit for United, right? And he, you know, he speaks very well and stuff. But I'm just thinking, what, you know, if we're going to make United an old boys club and everyone's going to come back, obviously Nicky Butt's quite integral in the staff as well. I'm just not sure what the end game is, right? Simeon was asking about Tuchel, right? I would have loved him. Like, if you hear that way, the way that guy speaks, I saw an interview with him and Rio Ferdinand. That is someone that I believe knows the game. And I don't think he was an amazing footballer. You guys might correct me, right? But that is somebody that knows the game. And I'm just not convinced by the appointment. But then again, I don't think many United fans are convinced by our own board and decision. The Glazers just sold a bag of stock, Man United stock, recently. So we've got our own problems. I mean, I'm there. I don't want people to criticize me and say this guy's talking shit about the Arsenal infrastructure. Like, our infrastructure is amazing. I mean, I think we rely a little bit more on the culture and the success and the revenue machine that the club has, but we've got some problems, and I'm not a massive fan of the appointment, but we'll have to see how it plays out, right? I mean, I'm happy to be wrong, right? Like, if Ole wins the league next year, Simeon, I'll say, look, I messed up, I got it wrong. But you know what, Simeon? It's not going to happen, right? But I'm confident it's not going to happen.
Anyway, when Tuchel got sacked at PSG, I thought that was God saying to Arsenal, listen, I'm going to throw you a bone here. And then, you know what I mean? We kept with the Arteta project, and man like Jordan was saying, yeah, good.
It is timing, though. It is timing, right? Because I think that's the only reason why you didn't get Arteta the first time round, right? Is that Emre became available and they were like, well, this guy's got some pedigree, right? So they passed on Arteta. They went for Emre. That didn't work out. And I think they just went, fool me once, you know what I mean? Let's get a guy that everyone's telling me has like diagrams on his wall and doesn't even talk to his wife because he likes football that much.
Emery's problems weren't really on the pitch. Emery's problems were off the pitch, and that the guy didn't have no source, and that basically he became an easy kind of target of both the fans and the press.
It's interesting you say that, right?
And he became a joke, because the truth is, though, is that Arteta has performed much worse on the pitch than Emery. I mean, Arteta, it's actually been abysmal. Like we're in 10th place. Like, this is the Arsenal, man. But before the new year, we were wondering where the goals were going to come from. We just put Aubameyang on a new contract. Like, the listen, we spent 72 mil last year, and he goes and buys Willian, who's doing nothing. Like, people are forgetting, like, where Arteta has taken this side from.
We're two segments away from Arteta and Arsenal, and Simi's gone back to Arteta.
But I love, you know what, it's refreshing to hear, because I've got people telling me, look, Barca won him. He's one of the best tactical managers in the league.
You know what George said, right?
What did George say, G? Remind us, because you know he's going to tell you you're lying, by the way.
What did I say? Yeah. Before you said, G, very careful about how you quote. Be very careful.
Trying to hook you up, G. Stay strong, man. Stay strong with your point.
Okay, I had a ... before and a ... after.
Okay.
Best young manager in Europe.
See, you got it wrong. But you know what? Let's move on.
But the thing is, you know what's funny, right? And maybe Simeon is just talking about the top six clubs, but I'm getting the feeling that Simeon thinks that persona and optics and, you know, people that can advertise shampoo ads later plays a part. But then when you really look at the Prem, I don't feel like the Prem is full of like those sort of optically good looking, you know, snazzy managers, right? So you're saying Emery didn't have the sauce, but you're talking about a league that has, you know, Roy Hodgson, Dyche,
these men aren't playing for like, these men are the managers of top clubs, and that's why they never get the top jobs, because they ain't got no sauce.
So, Siv, you talk a lot about the hairline, but I see you wearing the hat. Well, I mean, what's your hairline saying?
I think for a man
of 32, yeah, you know, my hair's doing all right, you know.
But Siv, what are you saying? Because Siv's got a hairline, he could get the Arsenal job, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I love it.
It's not that strong.
Listen, G, back to Marvin's point. You're the fan of a club that has that kind of technical director in place and have done for a little while, and you've been successful since you've had that model.
Yeah.
Do you now
and fear, a bag of cash and a bag and of cash
that, yeah. that helps too. Yeah. Do you now fear United more than you did 2 weeks ago, because they now have a model whereby Solskjaer can just manage and continue on trajectory, and a guy now that will take care of all the
I hate that question. you know what G's gonna say?
No, but I want to see if he's honest. I want to see if he's gonna be real, because
George. no one fears United. Let's keep it real. No one fears United. And the thing is though, it's a typical United type signing, because it feels like the fancy structure, as you kind of mentioned before.
So hang on, is the role the problem, or the person they've appointed? Or both?
The role is not the problem at all. It's the person they've appointed. It's the people who've appointed the person who they've appointed. It's everything around that. They're doing what everyone has told them to do a year later. There were very good people, you know, people talked about Van der Sar doing a great job at Ajax previously, that there were people with big reputations in the game. I don't know what Darren Fletcher has been doing in football. At least even with like Petr Cech, I heard that when he was at Arsenal, he did a few things behind the scenes there. I don't know whether it's true or not. What is Darren Fletcher's pedigree on this? I don't get it. It doesn't make no sense.
Well, to back him a little bit, I do hear from people I know in the game that he is highly thought of as someone that has really good ideas about the development of players, the development of clubs. Because my understanding of a technical director is, and this is why I don't think that the manager should be involved in that appointment, is that you're in place to essentially build the next 10 years. And we know that managers don't last 10 years now. So you're going to be in place for the next 10 years, the famous phrase now, roadmap. What's the roadmap to success for the next decade? What kind of football are we going to play? What kind of player profile are we going to be bringing in? I'll take care of all of that for you. All you've got to do, Solskjaer, is win on the pitch. I'll provide you with the right back that you want, who's aged between 20 and 24 years old. Do you know what I mean? Who's really good. He's really good going forward, but maybe not defensively. That's what your system is. Do you know, that's what that role, as I interpret it, is supposed to be for.
Yeah. So, but again, I'll go back. I mean, the thing is, every
does anyone fear Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah. Most teams do.
No, they don't. Let me tell you, I'm offended by nobody fears United. I don't think anybody is feared in this league other than City right now.
I'll ask the two neutral people here.
I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to say that United should be feared. What I'm saying is, we are operating in a league of fearlessness, right? That's why Burnley can go to Liverpool at Anfield and pat them out, right? The only team to be feared in this league, if you look at the form, if you look at the results, is City. That's it.
But hang on, Marvin. I'm talking about off the pitch, though. I think off the pitch, Liverpool are still feared. They've had a shocking season, but the setup of Liverpool, for me, means they're a serious club. The setup at Man City means they're a serious club. Even at Chelsea, to some degree, off the pitch, there's a setup there that makes me think there's people there that know what they're doing to make Chelsea a force. They may bomb on the pitch. It may not work out. But the setup off the pitch.
You know what?
Whereas Arsenal, Tottenham and United, the setup off the pitch isn't serious.
All right. Thank you for clarifying that. But let me be clear.
No one fears United?
Anybody who's fearing backroom stuff, that's just a nonsense to me, right? At the end of the day, it's all about results, right? It's all about results.
Yeah, but how do you get the results, Marvin?
The results, George, are from a combination of everything you said, right? So obviously the backroom staff and recruitment play a role, right? But if the manager's shit, as Frank was, the results don't come. You can have the best backroom staff in the world.
And that's why we got rid of him. That's why we got rid of him, Marv. You still got your shit manager. Marv, if you had a grand to put on who would win the league next year out of Chelsea and United, I bet you'd bet on Chelsea.
Because that's
how we're structured. That we're only ever a couple of signings away from competing.
What if United went inside Kane?
Can I put a grand on anyone?
I'd still pick Chelsea.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Let me tell you, Chelsea, Arsenal, and some United fans, right? And I've said it a million times. There's really some delusions of grandeur going on here, right? Like I can't stress enough. Chelsea were a dog shit club with a dog shit stadium and a dog shit fan base, right?
Still do, to be fair.
Yeah. Man. Roman comes in with some money. He brings in Marina, whatever her name is, who was his ex-EA. Clearly, she's got some dirt on him, right? She knows how to negotiate and put some personal spies in place. And instantly, and what, you took like Peter Kenyon from us back in the day and all that bullshit. And instantly, you've got this most fearless back, you know, infrastructure that the world's ever seen, and you're so good because you sack managers who win Champions Leagues or whatever. To me, the being able to sack a man doesn't show that you're amazing, right? Pure results is something different, right? At the end of the day, you could say, yeah, that's why we sack Frank. A good backroom staff wouldn't have hired him in the first place, right?
He had a purpose.
To get you through the transfer ban.
Yeah, yeah, he had a purpose. And then when he exhausted his purpose...
That is complete horseshit, right? If you guys are as good as you say you are, regardless of a transfer ban, you would have been able to acquire good talent, right? You settled on Frank. So to pat yourself on the back for sacking a man that shouldn't have been hired in the first place. Gee, it's like hiring me for Man United as Man United manager tomorrow.
You might as well,
right?
You got Ollie.
And then sacking me. and then sacking me. Well, why do you want credit for that? I'm not having it.
What I'm saying is, I trust our board, our backroom staff.
To hire a next man?
No, to get things done over anyone at United. I think United has been in the same position for 3-4 years, good runners-up or good third place. Chelsea will come up and win the league. Maybe even Leicester will go up and win the league. And United will be in the same place again.
Let me tell you something. You're not going to get from me that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the right man for the job. You're also not going to get from me that the United infrastructure is great. But what you will get from me is the fact that because Chelsea have had success, bearing in mind they have a billionaire owner and fireman every couple of years, that to me does not indicate that they've got a fantastic infrastructure. That might mean they've got a clinical infrastructure, but if that doesn't transfer into consistency, I think there's just a bit of gas from UG, right?
Well, because if you look at
it's peaks and troughs. Like,
if you look at trophies over the last 10 years, you know what I mean? Yeah, because it's pretty consistent. Right. But anyway, we could talk about this.
Is we it
could
talk pretty consistent?
We could talk about this forever. We are always pretty much, apart from maybe the last 2-3 years, since Romans came in and the structures came in.
The last 2-3 years.
We've always been in the running. And before we won a title.
I mean, listen, Ole's shit and he finished above you last year and he'll probably finish above you this year. So I'm just struggling to hear your point, right? I'm struggling.
And the year that we finish above you, we'll probably win a title and you'll still be just finishing above someone else.
That's a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda, probably, as far as I'm concerned.
Anyway, I find it interesting. I'm looking to see what United do with Fletcher in place because... I mean, George,
let's not leave the pod thinking that I think they're going to do stuff with Fletcher in place. That's not what I said. I don't want you to finish on a misquote here. Right? That's not what I said. Let's be clear about that.
So
it's fair for me to say no with Fizzy United.
Let me be clear. When you said about fear, I thought it was on the pitch. And what I was saying is it's a fearless league.
So basically, you've done an Ollie. You've gone on a big tangent.
No, I haven't. I stick to everything I said. I just think the way George said it was, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Like Marv saying that we're going to win the league now, Darren Fletcher's going to play it. Marv didn't say that. I did not say that in one iota, right? So let's be very clear.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how United get on with Fletcher.
You better not edit my insert out, you know. I can see you doing that. The one beat edits is me looking like I'm backing down Fletcher's appointment. I'm having it.
No, I do. I find it interesting because United.
You know what I will say though, Jude? Can I make one point? Where I am really impressed with the Chelsea infrastructure is the way they've raised the game for women's football. I think, you know, Chelsea won the league, I think, last year. So I can give them credit on that. They've done a great job.
Well, I could argue to be fair, they've built on the work that Arsenal have done in the women's game. To be fair,
I'm not close enough to the women's game. Is this sarcasm, Marv?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Like, is this real?
But you won the league title, didn't you? Same infrastructure.
We won the league that bit. I think we won the Continental Cup or something like that.
It was the League Cup.
Yeah. Carabao Cup equivalent.
I mean, they've done a great job there. Let's leave it at that.
All right. Listen.
Timmy, just coming to the pod this week. Don't forget to subscribe to the team. You know what to do.
We're on iTunes, Spotify, all your podcast outlets, all the socials, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Holler at us. Let us know what you think about United's appointment, because I think Marvin is alluding to the fact that he thinks they might be doing a ting under Darren Fletcher. Let us know what you think about Ollie's missing appearance. And do you, like Simeon, think that Pepe is the guy? He's just been held back by a manager with a really good hairline.
He's just throwing pure man under the bus, isn't it? But to be honest with me... I think Simeon does think that, so let me rest on it.
let us know what you think. Till next time. Peace.